Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, to week three of our series with our esteemed human condition guru, Lynn Worsley, looking at how all sorts of relationships function and how the neuroplasticity of our brain works, how our brain actually molds and changes physically depending on who we're relating to. We're now going to be looking at couple of specific types of relationships over the next couple of weeks. Lynn, welcome again. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And it's been such an absorbing conversation so far. Let's just recap for those who might not have joined us over the last couple of weeks, where we come from.
Okay, Lee. Now, last week we went through the patterns that are established through the interaction with the main caregiver, which predominantly is the mother in the studies.
Yes.
We noted how that the mother comes with a particular style of interaction, which has been established from her own parenting and her own interactions throughout her life. We also noted that the function of the connection for the baby is to seek protection from their mother.
Okay.
So the baby gathers their mother's attention by becoming difficult if mum's distracted, or ambivalent if mum's just over the top. So this leaves the baby with a feeling of safety and security, and the mums learn from the baby as to what they want. So when, however, there's a bit of a dyssynchronicity.
Just say it slow. I reckon. So it's out
when
of whack.
They're out of whack. The baby and the mother don't learn the cues when that happens.
Okay.
And the baby learns behaviour that protects them from their mother's reactions. Not
yes.
to teach the mum, but they're protected from the mother. And this is the sad part. They actually shut down and they become still and vigilant, and they comply to the mother's demands, or they learn to shout louder and become equally as manipulative.
It's amazing.
And then they often compete for their mum's attention. So again, it's a function. It is to be noticed.
Yes.
So the function is to gather protection from somewhere and to gain some stimulation for their brain to grow. Now, for all the young mums out there, don't fret. The baby only needs 30% of his interactions to do well for their attachment. 70% of the rest of the time, we're doing trial and error, and the baby needs to learn that they're not the only ones in the world.
If you've been a parent, don't you know about that? So as I said, we're going to look at a couple of specific times of relationships in the coming weeks. First, couples tonight. This is going to be interesting.
Yes. Now, all of us have established a set of behaviours that are established in the early infancy, but we also have more relationships that also build from that.
Yes.
Some relationships challenge us to change, while others just reinforce the similar pattern that we've learnt as a baby. Now, the message is clear now that whatever relationship we're in, it then has the potential to change the pattern that we started with.
Okay.
So when we seek a partner, we're often attracted to someone who makes us feel good. The feel good is established by how we feel protected and safe, and we're allowed to be ourselves in that environment. So our behaviour within the relationship as it flourishes forms a function, and often finds ourselves doing similar patterns of behaviour that we learned as a little baby in order to gather protection.
Wow.
So this is what we call functional behaviour.
Okay, so can you explain in practical terms what functional behaviour is?
Okay. Now, often when we're dealing with people with difficult behaviour, there's been a sort of a push to stamp out the behaviour and reinforce some new behaviour. Well, that's okay, except every action in a relationship forms a function, and the function is to gain protection.
Yes.
So we can't just stamp it out unless we know what the function is.
Okay.
So, for example, in a couple where a man has been raised by an over-controlling and pushy mother who dominated him and threw tantrums herself when she didn't get what she wanted, that man would have a set of behaviours that form the function of protecting himself.
Okay.
He'd learn to be vigilant, comply with her ways, say yes, no, three bags full, whatever you want. And then he'd quietly do what he wanted to do without her knowing. It's
wow.
a sort of form of resistance
yes.
to the control, but it also keeps the peace.
Yes.
So then this man comes to a new relationship, and when his wife begins to ask him to do something, he says yes, no, three bags full, and he doesn't follow through.
There are lots of wives nodding out there.
And so the function of this behaviour is to protect him from her potential outbursts, just like his mother's outbursts.
Oh,
so the trouble is, this evokes in her a frustration and leads her to start nagging and mistrusting him.
Yes.
And because he says he'll do it, but he doesn't follow through, she increases her nagging and he increases his functional response. So we have a Mexican standoff, And the results, no cooperation, and both of them are feeling fairly insecure and feeling like the relationship's dangerous.
Terrible, yeah.
So this also then increases their responses and they become even more protective of themselves. And the functional protective behaviour that they learned as infants comes out. So the function of her behaviour in that sort of relationship is to get him to work with her so she feels secure. The function of his behaviour is to pretend to comply with her to keep the peace. So most often I see couples who are in that protective mode and they're protecting themselves against each other and it's really, really hard for them.
So it really is quite a common thing.
Yeah.
So you're a clinical psychologist. How are you working with that kind of functional behaviour so that it can actually work in marriage?
Well, yeah, we begin by asking each person when they last feel safe and what did the relationship look like when they did feel safe. So asking them what's the ideal is the first thing I would start with. And that gives a counsellor an idea of where they are and what when they're not afraid. So it allows each person in the relationship also to hear from each other about what it's like when their armour's not on. And so perhaps feel more compassion, hopefully.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm a firm believer that relationships break down because people don't have the skills to stay together.
Okay.
And these skills are needed to negotiate the other person's functional behaviour that's protecting themselves.
Which is why we need to be not ashamed to go and seek professional help.
I'm not
making an ad for you, but that is
it's really important.
A very important point, yes.
So I've got a colleague in the US who runs the divorce busting workshops.
Okay.
Her name's Michelle Werner Davis, and she's, if I could get her out here, I'd be very pleased to put her in the Resilience Centre. She'd be wonderful.
And on Open House.
But she commented recently on an article on nagging from the Wall Street Journal. It was called the Meet the Marriage Killer.
Okay.
It was about the toxicity of nagging, which is assumed a predominantly female activity. And Michelle noted that the author, Elizabeth Bernstein, cited the solution as having a more calmer and more empathetic, blame-free conversation. But we all know that doesn't work.
I was going to say, oh, how easy.
In actual fact, in many marriages, you can talk till the cows come home and nothing changes.
Yeah, get that, Michelle. Elizabeth.
Yeah. So Michelle noted that you don't need a degree in psychology to know that there are gender differences.
Yes.
But as a rule, women are more verbally orientated than men who favour action. Yep. And when it comes to getting through to their partners, women often rely too heavily on words and they'd be better off doing something. However, the example in the Bernstein article of a nagging breakthrough entailed a solution where the wife shut her mouth and finally took action.
Oh, that's interesting.
She got tired of asking her husband to meet her at the equivalent to Bunnings, and she put a post-it note in his ham sandwich.
There's a tip. You heard it here first.
But it didn't work.
No.
She asked him to meet him at 6 p.m. and he reacted badly and the relationship got worse.
Dear.
So sometimes a man withholds because he believes his wife is withholding from him and he retreats into his man cave. And that's functional behaviour to keep him protected. For example, if he feels unloved because his marriage is sex-starved, he may not be amenable to pleasing his wife.
Okay.
And so this behaviour is not an aphrodisiac for him. So it results in less touching and even less cooperation. So basically, why do we bother talking about things when I just get blamed and shamed?
Yeah.
For her, she'd get much further instead by taking the action of being more affectionate.
Okay.
Men have been known to mow lawns, fix washing machines, and even go clothes shopping after passionate sex. So no nagging is necessary.
I make no comment. Move on, please, Doctor.
Conversely, when men fulfil their wives' wishes and actually get the tasks and jobs done, women magically stop nagging.
How amazing.
They may even get more affectionate.
Yep.
So it works both ways. So women, if you're considered a nagger, the advice is this. Start taking some action and showing some love and giving him some sense of affection where he does feel safe and protected.
Yeah.
And that will come back on you as a much better response.
So just quickly, when you say the changes can happen in our patterns, does doing the opposite actually change our patterns?
Yes, yes. So if we go through sometimes in our lives when we actually feel like doing something as a quick reaction, oftentimes what we need to do is the opposite.
Okay.
If we do the opposite as a response, it will then forge a new pathway in our brain.
Lynn Worsley, I love these chats. Next week, we're going to look at the relationships between teachers and their pupils, which I really look forward to. Every day, well, not every day that I have a bad day, but most days when I have a bad day, I think to myself, well, at least I'm not Julia Gillard. We've been running this kind of poll on our Open House Community Facebook page. Just a simple like or not between Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard. It's terrible news for Gillard. 8 votes to 113 at this time.
Wow.
See you next week, Lynn Worsley. Across Australia, this is Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.